This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people.
That was Donald Trump, the former U.S. president, who is seeking to return to the White House, speaking after his conviction yesterday on 34 counts of falsifying financial records. Details coming up. Also, former South African President Jacob Zuma is turning out to be a political wild card in the country's current election. And major relief agencies warn that millions of people in Sudan are at an imminent risk of famine. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is guilty of falsifying financial records to hide a payment to an adult film star to influence the outcome of the 2016 election. Tina Trin reports from New York.
Guilty on all 34 counts. That's what a unanimous New York jury decided after less than 2 days of deliberation, that Donald Trump, the first U.S. president tried in a criminal court, falsified business records to suppress potentially damaging information ahead of his 2016 election. After hearing the verdict, the presumed 2024 Republican presidential candidate left the courthouse, saying voters will decide his fate on Election Day.
This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people.
But those voters may not include Trump himself, says University of Virginia professor Barbara Perry.
It would be the case that if he maintains his residency in Florida, a state where convicted felons are not allowed to vote, that he literally would not be allowed to vote for himself.
President Joe Biden's reelection campaign released a statement saying, "In New York today, we saw that no one is above the law." Former federal prosecutor and New York Law School professor Steve Cohen was not surprised by the verdict.
The legal reality is either you believe in the jury system or you don't. And I happen to believe in the jury system. The case was tried. It was tried carefully, at times almost meticulously. It doesn't mean there won't be issues on appeal. There always are issues on appeal. It doesn't mean that there won't be surprises to come.
22 witnesses testified in the six-week trial, including a tabloid newspaper editor who described suppressing stories critical of Trump. Adult film star Stormy Daniels, who said she was paid to keep quiet about a sexual encounter with Trump that he denies. And former Trump attorney Michael Cohen, who said he made those payments to Daniels on Trump's behalf. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg said the jury made its decision based on the evidence in the law.
While this defendant may be unlike any other in American history, we arrived at this trial and ultimately today at this verdict in the same manner as every other case that comes through the courtroom doors, by following the facts and the law, and doing so without fear or favor.
Trump's sentencing is scheduled for July 11th, just days before the Republican Party is expected to formally nominate him as its presidential candidate at a party convention in the Midwestern state of Wisconsin. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
So Trump just did a live TV address, and we have VOA national correspondent Steve Herman on the phone live. Welcome to Africa News Tonight, Steve.
My pleasure to be here.
So Trump's address sounded a lot like his usual topics, that he is the victim in this case and the judge and prosecution are corrupt and targeting him. That will resonate, of course, with his base of support, but will it influence voters who say they are not undecided?
Yeah, there's, as you know, a very small percentage of the American electorate who says that they are undecided. And in a poll before we had the verdict, just about 17% of those surveyed said that the outcome of this trial could possibly influence who they vote for in November for president. Really, I think what this is about, what we're seeing from both sides, is using this case to just get out their base. That's what's really important here, because there are very few people to influence, to go one way or the other, that are still, so to speak, sitting on the fence.
So how is the verdict being seen as benefiting Trump or hurting him?
Well, that depends on who you talk to, obviously. Donald Trump, in his remarks just a few minutes ago inside Trump Tower in New York City, said that one newspaper poll had given him a 6% boost after the verdict. And he also said that his campaign since the verdict in a number of hours raised $33 million from small donors. The Biden campaign, of course, believes that having the label convicted felon attached to Donald Trump's name will harm him and boost the chances of Joe Biden being reelected in November.
And do political experts think it will affect Joe Biden's reelection campaign?
Well, we really don't know yet. We don't have any real polls indicating anything at this very early juncture. The president himself has not made any direct remarks about this. He has some opportunities today, and we'll see if he starts to talk about it. But we do know that the political action committees and other surrogates around Donald Trump and his around Joe Biden and his campaign are obviously going to bring this up at every chance that they have.
Steve Herman, VOA national correspondent, thank you for your input.
My pleasure.
The legal problems facing former U.S. President Donald Trump have been headline news around the world. In Nairobi, reporter Ruben Chama has been speaking with people to hear their opinions about the guilty verdict yesterday in the first case to go to trial. Businesswoman Ivy Kamu has been following the case in New York.
I think about the issues happening in the U.S., the cases against Trump, they will actually increase his chances of winning. That's what I think. And I don't think that could happen in Africa. I don't think it's fair.
Environmental activist Darren Hart Juma says the verdict is a sign of democracy and the rule of law.
For me, I'll just send a message to the world using the words of Mahatma Gandhi. When he say that whatever is right, and whatever is wrong, regardless of who is doing it. So that is to mean no one is above the law. Let it be reflected to any other country.
Kevin Rotik is a business reporter with Capital FM Radio.
Trump is still popular among the Republican voters, so I don't think it will affect his candidacy in any way. But I think going forward, Mr. Trump's image will be tainted forever. I think what this ruling sent a positive message across the globe. It indicates how strong U.S. political and legal system are. It doesn't matter who you are, whether a politician, a billionaire, when you make a mistake, be sure you will pay for it or answer for it.
Remember, you can keep up with the latest on this story and others on voaafrica.com and voanews.com. Trump still faces cases in three states and the federal government, but they are not expected to be decided before the U.S. election in November. So all eyes are on the fallout from yesterday's verdict. Todd Belt, professor and director of the Political Management Master's Program at George Washington University's Graduate School, explains to VOA's Carol Van Dam what the 34 convictions against Trump yesterday were all about and how much impact they may have on the election given the dedication of Trump's followers.
The conviction of Donald Trump rested upon two important pieces, and that was the fact that there were falsification of business documents and that the president had done that in order to engage in electoral malfeasance. So in order to prove those two things, there were a number of different charges against him that had to be brought together. But most of these are actually individual charges for each of the different payments that he made to Michael Cohen.
He is the first former or current U.S. president to be a convicted felon now. And that's pretty
history
making in and of itself. Can you put that into perspective for us?
This is absolutely historical. We've never had anything like this happen in U.S. history. We have had a president who committed some crimes and then at the end was pardoned. That was Richard Nixon. But we've never had a president actually stand trial and be convicted by a jury of his peers.
And Donald Trump is the presumed GOP nominee, and the Republican National Convention is coming up pretty quickly in July.
That's
what
right.
What does this mean for the U.S. election, and can he still run?
Donald Trump can absolutely still run. He is likely to be the nominee. I don't think that's going to change at all. He has as many delegates as he needs to secure the nomination at the convention. And what we've seen with Donald Trump is he is a master of taking bad politics and turning it into good news for him in ways that it would be devastating to any other presidential candidate. But for Donald Trump, his supporters are so firmly behind him. At this point, people's views of Donald Trump are very crystallized. And so this isn't going to change their opinion of him very much. For those who don't like him, it will solidify the fact that they finally got him on some charge. He wasn't able to escape as he always does. And for his supporters, this is going to change their view about the American judicial system more than it will about Donald Trump's candidacy for president. They will rally behind him like they always have.
But will these convictions move the meter at all for other voters?
Nope.
You don't think so, even moderate?
Absolutely not. There is some recent polling that says that about 16% of voters say that this will change their vote. But at this point in a presidential campaign, all the best political science shows that people will vary what they're saying to pollsters. They will say that they're undecided. They will say that they're thinking about a third party candidate. They will say that they don't even know if they're sure that they're going to vote. But by the time we get to the election, people will filter into the categories that they normally would be in, and they will figure it out. And usually that's because they're more afraid of the other party's candidate than necessarily supporting their own.
What is Donald Trump's next move and his defense team?
They're going to appeal, obviously. That's going to be one thing, and that probably will go on beyond the electoral campaign. And so they will just continue to cause questions about how this was decided, instructions given to jury members, and everything that they're going to throw everything they can at the judge, the jury, and the process in order to try to muddy the water so that his supporters continue to think that this was really rigged against him and that justice is on the horizon.
That is Todd Belt, professor and director of the Political Management Master's Program at George Washington University's Graduate School. He was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Dam in Washington. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America, and for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. Despite being a disgraced former president who was sent to jail, Jacob Zuma is turning out to be the political wild card in South Africa's current election. The 81-year-old has been urging people to turn their backs on the ruling ANC, led by his successor, President Cyril Ramaphosa. His message seems to have resonated. To brief us more on the matter, I spoke with Darren Taylor, our reporter in Johannesburg.
Well, the story in this election so far is basically the revenge that former President Jacob Zuma has visited upon the ANC. The party, he once said, and I'll quote, will rule until Jesus comes back. Now, Zuma allegedly stole billions of rands during his presidency between 2009 and 2018. Now he's stealing millions of votes from the party he once loved, until, of course, it removed him from power a few years back and replaced him with his sworn enemy, Cyril Ramaphosa. Late last year, Zuma formed the Umkhonto weSizwe, or MK, party. He vowed to destroy an ANC he said had lost touch with the black majority and was in league with what he called white imperialist capitalists. He seems to have done exactly this in his home province of KwaZulu-Natal, where his new party is set to obliterate the ANC from power. What is really surprising is that analysts and experts predicted that Zuma's MK would only do well in his home province of KwaZulu-Natal. But here we are, and MK is holding nationally at the moment 12% of the vote, which is surpassing the Radical Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF, as South Africa's third biggest party. Now remember that MK is barely 6 months old. It just shows the immense pull factor that Zuma has. He's almost a Donald Trump-like figure over here in South Africa, in that despite the many accusations leveled against him, all the controversy, the fact that he's been in jail, his popularity just grows.
The 81-year-old Zuma has been urging people to turn their backs on the ANC, led by his successor, President Cyril Ramaphosa. He wants to dethrone Ramaphosa. He doesn't want power, right? Very mischievous hand he's actually throwing into the election.
He is an animal of the ANC's intelligence service. During the apartheid years, he headed the ANC's intelligence service. And during his presidency, what he did was co-opt all of the security services, put his people in there, and basically turn the intelligence and security services into a huge beast that would protect him and his minions, and allegedly using that as a front, as a cover. They got away with all sorts of crimes. They allegedly stole billions of dollars. And policy-wise, he seems to have completely turned his back on the ANC, in that he's now copying the Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF. Ironically, many analysts are predicting that the EFF and MK will eventually merge. And as things stand, that party, if they merge, has a chance of supplanting the Democratic Alliance.
It's falling. So talk to us a little about that.
Of course, world markets and economies and investors don't like uncertainty. Now, we can say what we will about all the ANC's failures in the past, and there are many, but there was democratic stability in South Africa. Now, with the probability that the ANC will have to partner with a big party, maybe even Zuma's MK or Julius Malema's EFF, or maybe even both, to stay in power, really has markets in jitters. A coalition of any kind would bring uncertainty to governance in South Africa. Markets do not like uncertainty and instability.
That was reporter Darren Taylor talking to me from Johannesburg.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Major relief agencies warn time is running out for millions of people in Sudan, who they say are at imminent risk of famine because the country's warring parties are preventing aid from reaching them. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
19 global humanitarian organizations, including 12 United Nations agencies, today urged Sudan's warring parties to stop blocking food aid from reaching millions of people suffering from acute hunger. Jens Laerke is spokesperson for the Office for Coordination for Humanitarian Affairs, or OCHA. He says heads of these agencies fear many of the 18 million acutely hungry people, including 3.6 million children, will die if the blocked relief pipeline isn't opened.
If they continue to be prevented from providing aid in Sudan rapidly and at scale,
A famine will likely take hold in large parts of the country. More people will flee to neighboring countries. Children will succumb to disease and malnutrition. And women and girls will face even greater suffering and dangers.
Laerke notes acutely malnourished children are 10 to 11 times more likely to die than other children. Sudan, which is in its second year of conflict, is home to the largest number of internally displaced people in the world, nearly 10 million people who have been uprooted from their homes. Laerke says a further 2 million people have fled for safety to neighboring countries as refugees.
Attacks against civilians, including sexual violence, are multiplying, and hospitals and schools are also coming under attack. At the same time, aid workers face systematic obstructions and deliberate denials of access by parties to the conflict. Movements across conflict lines to parts of Khartoum, Darfur, Al Jazeera, and Kordofan have been cut off since mid-December.
This, he warns, would unleash catastrophic humanitarian consequences both in the city and across Darfur. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
VOA. VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
And in news from Zambia, police in that country have arrested two opposition lawmakers, two opposition party leaders, and an activist on espionage charges. This follows their earlier allegations via social media that the government was involved in the alleged abduction of independent lawmaker J.J. Banda last week. All suspects were charged yesterday with spreading hate speech. Three of those arrested also were charged with the offense of proposing a tribal war. The arrests come barely a week after opposition Patriotic Front Secretary General Raphael Nakachinda was sentenced to 18 months of hard labor for violating a now defunct presidential defamation law. Human Rights Watch said Nakachinda's sentencing has had a broad chilling effect on the right to freedom of expression in Zambia.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Patrick Deya, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Trump's conviction on 34 felony counts marks the end of the former